Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus taught a lesson on ultimate investments in a parable recorded in Luke's Gospel. He counsels believers to invest in God's kingdom, because only in the life to come will the true interest rate be on display. Today, more from the parables of Jesus. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn again to Luke chapter 16 for a final lesson on getting investments right.
So Jesus is saying, if you aren't faithful in a little thing, who's going to give you the big thing? Who's going to give you the true riches? Who is going to be there to welcome you? Who is there going to be to affirm you so that you can rule with Jesus in the kingdom? And then Jesus calls it unrighteous wealth. I think it was the King James that said filthy lucre. Now Jesus knows that money is neutral. You can use $50 to buy a Bible, or you can use $50 to buy cocaine. And it depends on how you use it. But because it is so sought after and makes all the promises that God makes, because it has so much power over us, Jesus calls it unrighteous wealth. Imagine Jesus calling it that. Are you surprised at the fact that the Pharisees ridiculed him? Look at what it says in verse 14. Your eyes need to see this in the text. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things and they ridiculed him. Why? Somebody calling money a little thing? Are you serious? We're lovers of it. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. We say to ourselves, well, you know, I don't love it. I just think about it all the time. I date it. I hug it to my bosom. I'm willing to do anything to get it. Oh, me, no, I don't love it. No wonder the Pharisees, they ridiculed him, the Bible says, because they were lovers of money. If you're a money lover, you might not like this message. But Jesus is saying this, that the way in which you use it is going to be commensurate with the kind of reward that I will give you in heaven. Now think about this. Think of how wise it is to invest in God's work. Because number one, it's safe. Number two, the rewards and the dividends are eternal. If you're interested during a financial downturn as to where you should park your money, give it to Christian ministry, give it for the advance of the gospel, because Jesus said that if you do that, it won't rust, it won't wear away, it's an eternal investment. How in the world can you beat that? And then Jesus says finally that you can't serve God and money. I'll read it again. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. This really needs a separate sermon sometime, because it is here where we deceive ourselves. We're absolutely confident that we can serve both God and money. We serve God on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We serve money, and we can do both. Jesus said, you can't. It would be like trying to dance to two different tunes at the same time. Now, in my case, I wouldn't be able to dance to one tune. So two, very clearly, would be a bit much. But Jesus said, examine your heart on this, because you can't serve both. I recognize that we need money to live. Saving money is wise. We have it here at the Moody Church. Instruction on money during these financial downturns. Continue to check your bulletin, because some of you who are in debt, some of you who are looking for work, All of us can benefit from wise financial investments. But at the end of the day, what you really want to do is to make sure that your money is working for the cause of the gospel. Two true stories, very quickly. It's the end of Second World War in Berlin. Now, all of us know about the hyperinflation in Germany that led actually to the rise of Adolf Hitler, but now this is after World War II. Germany again has huge financial problems and rapid growing inflation. In a book entitled The Day the Dollar Died, there's a story of a German woman who came with a bag of money to a Bible school in Berlin. She had carefully saved her marks, her German marks. And she brought this bag and she gave it to the head of the school and was so gratified that she'd be able to make an investment, really, that would pay dividends eternally. He was very sad because he had to tell her something. She'd not been listening to the news. And the day before, that mark, had been canceled. And Germany was beginning again by printing brand new money. The money was entirely worthless. What happened to this dear lady? God bless her, and God knows her intentions, and she'll be rewarded for her intentions. But she waited too long to transmute her money into an eternal investment. I remember talking to a man when we had a downturn here a couple of years ago, who I suspect has a great deal of wealth. He actually lives in a different state, the state of Michigan. But he told me, he said, you know, in light of what has happened, I wish I had just given more to the church, more to missionaries, because he was losing so much anyway. How much better to transmute it into an eternal investment? Jesus would have said, there's a place to put your money. Another true story. Princess Eugenia. Now, I know that there's a present Princess Eugenia. I checked that on the internet, but this is one who lived some time ago. Wasn't able to actually track her down because there's a whole series of Princess Eugenias. But she's the Christian lady who was given a crown because she was a prince and a queen, and she was given that. And she said to her husband, I want to build an orphanage for children. And she said, I'd like to sell my jewels so that I could use the money to build an orphanage, because she was wearing a crown with plenty of jewels. He was against it. You know, the crown is important, you know, keep all your wealth, et cetera, et cetera. But she insisted, so he let her sell the jewels in her crown. She took the money and she built an orphanage. And when she heard the children sing songs about Jesus, she came home one day and she said, I found my jewels. I found my jewels. I found them in the lives of these children singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wise woman. She couldn't take her crown with her. Those jewels and all the gold and everything like that, I mean, of what value is that? What she was saying is, you know, people say, oh, you can't take it with you. Absolutely, you can take it with you. But you have to put it in a form that will actually overcome the gap called death so that it gets to the other side, so that on the other side there are children and adults there who welcome you into eternal dwellings and say, thank you for your sacrifice. Do you think that woman in heaven today regrets what she did? It's what she did that will last eternally. All the jewels, well, they are in case today all throughout museums in Germany, but they do not save souls. There's a closing comment I want to make. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor Luther, how much does it cost to become a Christian? Well, that's a really good question. I'm glad you were asking it. I hope that many of you were asking it. Because I would really not be fair to you if I didn't explain something with as much clarity as God can give me. Receiving Christ as your Savior is entirely, a free gift based on what Jesus has already accomplished. It is recognizing our sinfulness that we can make no contribution. You can give all your jewels and all your money to the gospel, and you can do all that and still be lost, because what you need is a Savior. And His righteousness and His gift comes to you freely. It has to be free, because you and I can make no contribution whatever toward it. It is entirely of God. So if you've come here today with a troubled conscience, you've come here seeking God, come to Jesus, the Bible says. Participate in taking from the water of life freely. It is free. Then after you have received the free gift of salvation, then you begin to say, okay, my place in heaven is secure, but now how do I live in such a way that when I arrive there, I'll have something to show for my lifestyle? And that's when you begin to ask yourself, what investments can I make? Whether financial, volunteering, doing whatever you can, so that others in heaven will be there and say, you know what? In part, I am here because of you. I'm going to pray. There are some of you who never have received Christ as Savior. You can pray along with me. Those of you who know Him, can you actually say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold? Are your investments secure? Eternally, everlastingly, and very safe. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for these words from Jesus, a parable about investments. We pray today, Father, that those of us who know you may be very faithful, and those who don't, may they know that they can come without money, without price. They come freely to receive a gift that has already been made available to them, if only they believe. May they believe right now in their hearts, both in this sanctuary and around the world, for those who are watching and listening by way of the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope I made it as clear as possible. Salvation is free. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot negotiate for it. You can only receive it from God's gracious hand. Come to Jesus and receive Him freely. But having done so, we have the tremendous privilege of being able to invest in such a way that there will be people who will actually meet us in heaven in part because of the wise use of our funds. God bless you. Let us all be wise in these pursuits, and I'll see you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Getting Investments Right, the 9th in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time, the story of a man who had a lot but wanted a lot more. Don't miss Getting Eternity Right. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.